Oliver Callan on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Get Set Go. Get comprehensive car insurance today at getsetgo.ie.
And welcome back. Gina Ford, she's one of the most talked about parenting voices of the last 25 years. Her signature routine-based method told parents exactly when the baby should sleep, feed, nap. It made her both massively famous and also hugely controversial. She's now back living in her native Scotland and she very rarely gives interviews, but she did want to talk to us today about her thoughts on parenting these days. Gina Ford, thank you for joining us this morning.
Hi, Oliver. How are you?
Not so bad at all. And how are you? Because before we talk about anything else, I want to hear how you are, because I'm sorry to hear that you haven't been well, if you don't mind me bringing it up.
No. I'm getting there, Oliver. I was just, during COVID, I got blood clots on my lungs and It's created quite a few problems. But hey, I'm still here. That's the main thing.
You are. You sound good.
Well, I'm not too bad. I'm waiting on, quite a big serious operation, but I just feel I'm lucky that I can have this operation that hopefully will not totally cure me, but help my breathing. So,
all right.
So you've got to excuse me a little bit today if I sound out of breath.
No, you sound great. And that waiting for those big operations, you're as well distracted and talk to me, I suppose. That's a kind of a big thing in your mind.
Well, it's a 10-hour operation. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty scary.
Yeah.
They actually, it's open heart surgery and they stop you breathing for 3 30-minute sessions throughout the operation so that they can take all the blood clots away that are around my lungs and heart. So, yeah, I mean, there's only one hospital actually in the country that does it.
Really?
So whether you're in Scotland, Ireland, everyone... To have this operation, you have to go to Papworth because there's only about 4 surgeons in the UK that does the operation.
Wow.
So I'm really lucky, that I've been given the chance to have the operation and hopefully it'll go well.
Well, we all pray it goes well. Can I bring you then back?
Yeah, I have to think positive.
You do. You absolutely do. I want to bring you back to the start if I can. You, obviously, yeah. Long career in nursing. How did you get into it?
Oh, God. I mean, it's... I got into it a little bit by accident, really, because I trained in hotel and catering. But during my years in training in hotel and catering, I used to do a lot of babysitting, for different families. And then I signed up with agencies on my days off to look after babies. And so during my whole career in the hotel and catering trade, I always sort of ended up getting involved with families. And then... I left the catering trade. I was early 30s, it was quite late on.
Yeah.
Sort of after me leaving school, early 30s, one of the agencies just said, Gina, would you like to go out to Saudi Arabia to work for the royal family and, look after this little prince? And I thought, wow, okay, I'll give it a go. I'll go out there. And I went out there and huge, huge experience. I mean, absolutely unbelievable.
Incredible.
But the wee boy, he was about three and a half, Oliver.
Mm-hmm.
And I came back after I did my stint out there, which was 6 months, and I came back. And the agency said, wow, that was a great success. How do you fancy taking on a younger baby? We've got a set of twins.
Okay.
And I said, oh, I'm not like mega, mega experienced. I've just done lots of babies. So I went in and I worked with the family for 3 months. And I helped with the twins. And it sort of in those days, there was no sort of routine. This is going back, 30-odd years ago.
Right.
And I helped get them in a routine. I was ringing up my aunties and my mum and said, what do I do with this baby? How do I get in the routine? And they were telling me what to do. And I got these babies in a routine. And then the agency said, will you go to another family that could... So it started off by accident almost.
I see, yeah.
And, I always say, when people say, which college did you go to? How did you learn? I said, I learned from the best people, the mothers and the babies themselves. And that's the reality. When I first went into Oliver, I went in to help the mothers. I didn't go in like I did 20 years later as Gina Ford, expert on babies. When I went in, I was just an assistant to the mums. And, I went into lots of different families, lived lots of different ways of life, all over the world with all these different families.
Yeah.
Some had routines, some didn't. And as the years progressed and I kept travelling the world, because I loved it, I love working with the mums and the babies, you know, obviously I started to evolve my own routines, what worked and what didn't. And I looked at all the babies I worked with, that the ones that were really happy, content babies, and I looked at all the unhappy babies, and I suddenly realised there was a pattern.
Really?
And I started to take notes and do lots of research. And basically, that's how the book started to evolve. You know, it took a long time. I was doing this job for, well, nearly 20 years before the book came out.
When the book came out, Gina, did that end your career as a kind of, you know, nursing, looking after babies for these wealthy, powerful people?
I remember I went into one family after the book was published, and it was so embarrassing. I got up one morning and the mum's standing doing my ironing my clothes. Mm-hmm. And I said, "My God, what are you doing?" She said, "Well, I just wanted to make sure all your clothes were ironed." They started to treat me totally different. Instead of me going in to work for them, they started to treat me too much like a celebrity.
They were like servants, to you.
Yeah, which I did not like. You know, that is the last thing that I ever wanted was to sort of become some celebrity thing, and I think I've avoided that.
I've worked
very hard at avoiding it.
You've kept your life very private all your life, all your career.
Well, yes, because you know, I work for a lot of really famous people around the world, high-powered people, and I've seen what happens when you're in the public eye. Mm-hmm. The stress these people go through.
Wow.
And I just thought, I can't, you know, I don't want to live that sort of life. So when my book first came out, it was like a huge overnight success. Mm-hmm. And immediately they tried to, you could end up, if you weren't careful, in this celebrity sort of situation.
Yes.
You know, lots of celebrities phoning me up and saying, "Oh, let's go out for lunch, let's do that, let's go to the Ivy, let's go to the Ritz." And I did it a few times with people and I thought, no, this is not me. I just, you know. So I just made sure that I didn't get involved in that scene. I mean, yes, of course, I know lots of famous people, lots of celebrities, and I do sort of mix with them in a way, but in a very quiet way.
Yeah, you never name drop.
Never. I'm really proud of the one thing that my books have achieved. They became successful through word of mouth. I mean, I know there's a lot of celebrities mention me, but I never once have mentioned any of the people that I work for, and I refuse to do that. Mm-hmm. Unless they mention me, you know, like Jamie Oliver, he's always talking about me. People ask about his family and he jokes. He always says, "I've been Gina Forded by my missus," you know. But, that's fine. He's going out there, he's saying it.
Yeah.
But I sort of wouldn't go to, and I'd certainly never talk about the families because, you know, I lived with these people. I was in their home and, you know, they treated me, on the whole, most of the people I worked for were lovely and treated me with kindness and trusted me. And I always laugh. I never had to sign a confidentiality clause.
There was no need for an NDA on Gina
Ford. And then when I became really successful, and if somebody famous got in touch with me, my publishers would make them sign the confidentiality clause, which I thought was a bit of a joke, but, you know, there you have it.
Since you were around the world, was being Scottish, was that seen as an advantage in your profession? Was it seen as kind of no-nonsense place?
You know, yes, I think that when I travelled overseas and I've worked and lived in so many different countries, they love the Scots. Most, you know, overseas countries love the Scots. And I have to admit I'm a wee bit of a fraud because I'm only half Scottish. But, you know, I feel 100% Scottish, but I'm sort of half. My dad was a Geordie.
Oh,
it was
right.
My mum's side that was the Scottish side.
It's close enough.
And that's a bad mix of Geordie and Scots.
But they're hard workers.
I wouldn't have minded having a wee bit of Irish in me. I have to say, my mum loved the Irish. Before she died, she said, "I only have one ambition, and that's to go to Ireland." That's all she had on her bucket list.
Really?
Was to go to Ireland. And I did manage to get her there for a long weekend to Dublin.
To Dublin.
And she just loved it, you know. She always loved the Irish. And I know I have a huge following in Ireland.
You do.
So
you certainly
to all
do.
All the contented baby parents in Ireland, hi. thank you for supporting me all these years, because I do get a lot of feedback from Ireland. Lovely messages.
You were married very young yourself, and when you became a child...
I did indeed. Married the first boy I kissed, can you believe?
Is that right? Mm. What age were you at the marriage?
I met him at 17. I was 16 and a half, 17. Yeah. I got married at 19. And we were together quite a long time. You know, we didn't divorce till I was 30.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. But that came to an end.
And, so, you know, we travelled. He worked in the catering trade and we travelled the world together. And then when I got divorced, that was when I moved away from the catering trade and went into working with the babies.
That sounds like it probably curtailed then your maybe ability to meet another person, fall in love, get married again.
Well, you know, the job that I did, you were on duty 24 hours a day. Hmm. So you didn't have a lot of time. You know, you got one day a week off.
Right.
So, and when I first started working with the babies, I just sort of thought, I'll do this for a year or two because I travelled. You know, it was really interesting. You would travel the world because a lot of these people had 3 and 4 houses and private jets and, you know, you were travelling the world with them.
Right.
So I thought, I'll do this for 2 or 3 years. I never sort of thought I'd end up doing it for 20 years, which I did.
Yeah.
But yes, it sort of, I became, I would say, a workaholic without a doubt. But it wasn't like work to me. You know, I was living in a lovely house. Oh, different houses, you know, a lot of people went between 3 or 4.
I'd say it was hugely hard work, Gina. I mean, it's extraordinary.
Well, I don't know. It didn't seem like hard work to me. I was just looking after one little baby.
Mm. When you did become famous for being a childcare legend, people were very unkind to you, weren't they, about your own family situation?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's always this thing, oh, you know, you're not going to take advice from her how to be a parent. Well, actually, I don't tell people how to be parents. I tell people about sleeping and feeding to hopefully make parenting better. But, yeah, I mean, of course, I know that unfortunately, people either love me or hate me.
And, well, they love you. And we've actually called her...
The book, Oliver, for those people that want routine. I always say I didn't write the book, but I'm not trying to go out there and change the world and say to him, you must have a routine.
It's an offer of help. It's a hand of help. Yes. We have a caller, Gina, on the line who wants to thank you. Would that be okay with you?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, she's on the line. I'm not sure. What's your name? Good morning.
Hi, my name is Lorraine.
Lorraine.
Hi.
Yes.
How are you?
Hello, Gina. I'm very well, thank you.
Hello there.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How old is your babies?
One is 22 and one is 20.
Well done.
Yeah.
And obviously, I'm hoping
One of them is upstairs asleep at the moment, Gina, so you did your job very well.
That's the routine.
Yeah, I was introduced to Gina's book by a friend of mine called Fiona, and I was, I suppose, an older mother at 36. But I knew for us to survive, we would have to have routine in the house.
Yeah.
So I followed the principles in the book. I mean, it's obviously not possible to do everything to the letter of the law. But I do remember looking at my eldest in a rocket tot one day, and I said that Gina says you should be tired. So I put him to bed and he slept for 2 hours.
Did.
So yeah, it really worked for us. So he slept at 5 weeks and then his brother slept at 11. So look, just to say thanks very much. It certainly worked for us.
Well done.
Well,
thank you so much.
I'm so pleased it did. And it's lovely to talk to you. And very soon you'll perhaps be a granny and perhaps they may use the Gina Ford book.
Exactly.
Not for another few years, please, Gina. Thanks all the same.
Not if he's lying in bed, unless he's with someone else. But Lauren, thank you so much. There was a big match here. There was a big match here last night, Gina. That's probably the reason for it. Can you give us an example, by the way, since we're talking about this routine, how the routine works from early morning?
Well, I suppose the key to the routine, and this is the tough bit, is no matter what happens in the night, wake the baby at 7. Because if you wake the baby at 7, the rest of it falls into place. The baby feeds, is awake a little bit, sleeps, feeds, is awake a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's the way that just that sort of mechanism, if you want to use that word, of how the baby's sleep cycles work, you know, in the first few months. if people, a lot of people have problems with babies in the evening not settling.
Right.
You know, you hear, oh, they're cluster feeding, they're walking the floor. And the one thing that I discovered when I was, you know, analysing, you know, taking 20 years of notes before I wrote the book, that was a lot of research, is that a baby slept a lot in the morning between 7 and 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
They did not settle between 7 and 10 p.m. at night. Now, I don't have a scientific mind, Oliver, and there's loads of research out there that could explain it in a scientific way.
Yeah.
But, you know, the basic thing is that if you want your baby to settle at 7 at night, there's a few things have to happen. You have to waken them up at 7 in the morning, have them just feed them, have them awake for a short spell, let them have a good nap, then awake, short spell, and then they'll settle in the evening.
Right.
People are often under the illusion that if they keep the baby up later in the evening, it will sleep better at night. Well, in fact, it doesn't. It, you know, you can see that if you go into any chat rooms. Thousands and thousands of mums posting that, you know, their baby doesn't go to bed until 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. It's been awake most of the evening, and then it still wakes every 2 hours. So, you know, a simple rule of thumb is, even if you don't want to do a Gina Ford routine, because there's lots of different routines out there now, and most of them are start your day at 7. Because if you don't, the reality is the baby doesn't feed enough, it doesn't get enough milk.
I see.
So throughout the day.
The 7 rule still stands, no matter where it is. Yeah.
So, you know, to me it sort of seems like common sense.
Your cry it out routine is kind of the most controversial, wasn't it? Let the babies just cry
well,
it out.
Well, you see, Oliver, I don't have a cry it out routine.
Okay.
There's no cry-it-out routine in my book. There's a crying down, which is totally different to cry-it-out. Cry-it-out is when people are struggling with sleep problems, and there's different sort of sleep-training methods. Cry-it-out is the one where you put the baby in the cot, you leave the room, shut the door, and you leave it to cry till it goes to sleep. I've never done that. Would never advise anyone to do it. The only thing that I advise with the very young babies is something called crying down, and
term
came from an Australian paediatrician who runs a huge sleep clinic out in Australia, very successful guy, and he talks about crying down with overtired babies, fussy overtired babies,
right.
Sometimes need 5-10 minutes of grumbling, and I'm talking about grumbling, you know, not screaming their heads off hysterically.
Yeah, so that's
and
it's
even
controlled.
Then, I say, if you feel that your baby's overtired, leave it for 2 or 3 minutes, then pick it up, offer it more food again, you know,
mm-hmm.
whether it's breast or bottle, offer it more milk, then try and settle it again, shush, pat, shush, pat. But no, there's no cry it out, Oliver. Sorry, dear.
Good, correct. I must tell you, because the modern parenting, then, your advice for parents these days is how it can affect relationships. Tell us more.
Yes. Well, I've noticed this more in the last, I would say, 5-6 years, because predominantly I advise parents on, you know, babies the first year, 2 years is my speciality. But over the last sort of few years, more and more parents are getting in touch with older children.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in all the emails, there's a thing somewhere halfway through the email or at the end of the email will come up, you know, this is really affecting my marriage. You know, my husband and I were at loggerheads the whole time. It's putting such a stress on our marriage. And a lot of it is, obviously, the children are slightly older. They've perhaps got 1 or 2 children. You know, mums are back to work much earlier these days. And that whole evening slot, you know, that 4:35 till 7, 8 o'clock time can become so chaotic. And, you know, if there's no sort of routine or plan in place, then you've got fractious children. They're always tired at the end of the day, most little kids. So, you know, you're sort of treading on eggshells anyway, even with the best of babies or toddlers. But if the parents haven't got something in place, a plan in place, and then they end up arguing how to deal with it, how not to deal with it, if they've got different views. And, you know, this is the pressure I see nowadays, and I'm dealing more. I mean, I haven't been working much the last year because I've been so ill, but prior to that, when I was, you know, working in my consultancy, I was dealing more with parents with older children, and the story was the same thing, you know, these fractious evenings where it was stressful for kids, you know.
You have to keep the family together. Parents. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, and everybody ending up shouting, you know, the kids shouting, the parents shouting, and absolute chaos. And, you know, that is the feedback that I never had that 15, 20 years ago.
That's new. It's
so,
new for today.
You know, and I did a bit of research.
And I know you're not finished working. I know you're not finished working yet, Gina. And I just want to tell people, because the Gina Ford baby app is coming out as well, and you've got the revised edition.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so excited about this. People have been writing to me for years saying, "Are you going to do an app? Are you going to do an app?" And I thought, "Oh no, I'm not going to do an app. It's all in the book. Why do I do an app?" And then suddenly one day, all of a somebody emailed me and said, "Oh, I'm so excited about your app." And I said, "But I don't have an app." She said, "Yes, you do. Look, it's all your words in this."
The force you
the
to
app,
do it.
I'm not going to name. And I looked at this app, Oliver. All the advice was what I had in my book. I couldn't believe that somebody had taken all my advice and created this app and was selling.
So now it's your
thousands
turn.
Thousands and thousands. Yes, they've sold millions now.
Well, we look forward to seeing it. And listen, the best of luck with everything, because I know you're going through that serious operation. So an extra thank you for taking the time to chat to us this morning.
No problem.
Look after yourself.
And just tell all those lovely Irish mummies to go out and buy the app.
I will. I'm about to.
As somebody said, it's a bit like having Gina in the house with you.
It is brilliant.
You know, you just, at the click of a button, there's answers for everything.
Couldn't be more useful.
Of all the things that I've done, I think I'm really proud about the app. I hope it will help a lot of people.
Good luck. Thank you so much, Gina. Thank you so much, Gina Ford there. Bye-bye. And the revised edition of The Contented Little Baby Book is out now, as well as the Gina Ford baby app. And I hope she is well. Hopefully we'll talk to her again another time. Now, Kieran Cuddihy is here with us for the last live line of the week.
Yeah, Oliver. And to Isagon Gul too, a Giri Nismo Goyalga Lauert, Marshin, to Isagot, and Rudas Anavisin talk. So we will lean into
it.
Oh, well, not quite. But we are absolutely going to lean into what happened in the Aviva last night. So it was brilliant. And I know you've been covering it, talking to some great people. And we're going to have other fans who are there, fans who are watching at home, fans who are already down at the credit union banging on the door looking for a loan to go to the USA to the World Cup. Such is their confidence. We're a great country. We're very up and down when it comes to our football fandom.
It has, and I'll tell you, with the weather and everything out there, this is the sort of lift we needed.
It is. So 0818 715 815, if you're in any of those categories or you want to talk to us about the football, we're going to talk, though, as well to a mother who brought her 8-year-old along to the game last night, a huge Ronaldo fan, just loves Ronaldo.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the young lad got dogs abuse up in the stand and does not want to go to another Irish match.
Because he was cheering when Ronaldo...
Because other Irish fans slagging him. I guess had it been you or I doing it to each other, it'd just be shrugged off as a bit of banter. But when it's an 8-year-old, they don't really understand in those ways. Yeah, so...
But how was he identified as a Ronaldo fan when he was wearing the jersey?
The Portuguese jersey with Ronaldo written on it. Yeah, that was a dead giveaway.
That was
Sherlock.
Anyway, Kieran, thanks a million. That's Lifeline. Coming up after the news at 1. We're going to take a quick break.
Text 51551. Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.